About this time every Tuesday, we check in down in New Orleans with Jeff Carrere, host of Ringside Politics. He joins us now. Jeff, what's happening, man?
Good morning. Hey, enjoying the rain.
I know. It's such a welcome respite. And by the way, it's the perfect amount. I don't know how it was down in New Orleans, but it was like nice, lazy rain here. It wasn't a torrential downpour. It's just that steady drizzle all day long.
We needed it. Oh, my gosh. It's a drought.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, a drought on a good day, extreme drought. I think they're coming up with new adjectives, by the way, to describe our drought. So we've got some more of it coming through today. I believe there's a 50-50 shot. We'll see some more of it today. But golly, yeah, we could go 2, 3, 4 days in a row.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the big news coming out yesterday. It's looking like all the wagons have been circled, and Philip DeVilliers is going to be our next speaker. Nice to get that done before the session even opens. Your takeaways on DeVilliers are what?
Remains to be seen. I mean, I think it was sort of a surprise, you know, from what I was looking at. I'd heard some other names that were going to be a better chance. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I thought some others had the inside track and you know, we'll see. So cautiously optimistic.
All right. Well, give me, who else was, I knew there were a couple of other names in the running, but I don't know that anybody had an overwhelming amount of support behind them. And the interesting thing here, Jeff, is has the state party sounded off on who they wanted yet?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And the state party on a few different issues didn't sound off a few, you know, statewide races. So, you know, they're sort of selective as to what they sort of get involved in.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know there was a big push to make sure that the speaker that the party wants was the speaker that got the gig. Right. That there was right before election day, there was this rumor that spread like wildfire, that there was a big push to get. And it was more than a rumor. There were phone calls made. But there was a big push to get those who were on your October ballot to sign a pledge saying that before I even run in October, I'm pledging that I'm going to vote for speaker for the person that the party tells me to. And that, look, and that was a whole lot of conversation behind that. It turned, what I was told was it was more overinflated. Like, it wasn't as big of a thing as it was made out to be. But for a number of legislators, they were like, no, I'm not proxying my vote on anything. I'll vote the way my heart and my constituents tell me. And
right,
you could just deal with the fallout there. Now, that being said, you get somebody in place ahead of time, and you don't even have to worry about that. So I don't know if this outflanked, if Republicans outflanked themselves here, if we're like that far down the rabbit hole, or if this is going to be something well, different.
You know, it's interesting that, I mean, he's considered affable. He's considered to be sort of calm, sort of like a local version of Mike Johnson, you know?
So, okay.
I mean, the other name I'd heard was Jack McFarlane as, you know, someone who was a serious contender for this. But, you know, you knew it was going to be somebody from a different part of the state because, of course, he had Cameron Henry on the Senate side, and this sort of balances it out from Eunice. I don't know. I mean, I think, boy, he's going to have a job in front of him now with this redistricting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. In fact, I want to get to that in just a little bit. Are you surprised that the name that was tossed out before, you know, before we even get to the swearing in, the name that was tossed out was not one of the nine who voted against HB1 last time around?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Sort of surprising. But, I mean, you know, I think he's got a lot that really makes him a good choice. I think he's a little bit younger. You know, the geographic advantages, demeanor, you know, and as you say, now we've got this all figured out early.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's going to be an advantage. I mean, they seem to be really trying to get all this done ahead of time. So, you know, we'll see. It looks like the governor's happy. We knew it was going to be somebody that the governor liked.
Right.
So that's not a surprise either.
No, it's not. Jeff Carrera is our guest, the first person to ever refer to Eunice as a geographical advantage on this show.
I like Eunice. I'm a fan of Eunice.
Hey, look, one of my best friends in the world comes from Eunice. So, nothing wrong with Eunice or...
My column appears in the Eunice newspaper there, my friend. So I'm a big fan of Eunice.
Gotta love it. Hey, Jeff, if nothing else, and I hate to play, like, you know, talk inside baseball here, but if nothing else, the fact that DeVilliers is not one of the nine who voted against HB1, Moon Grafon is going to be absolutely apoplectic at 9 o'clock this morning. He's going to lose his mind.
That never happened.
No.
That never happened.
Moon Grafon, 9 to 11, right here on Talk 107.3 FM. All right, we got Jeff Carrera for a couple more minutes. Let's go ahead and talk about redistricting if we can. We're faced with two choices right now. Either a session called by a lame duck governor and potentially lame duck legislators that a number of legislators have already said, no, we're not coming, or a one-day session called by Jeff Landry. And one day is, you know, by law, the way it's mapped out right now, and I don't expect Judge Shelley Dick to do any favors to an incoming overwhelming Republican majority. Is there a better option here? The third option would be the best for Judge Dick to extend things by a week. But between the two options, Governor-elect Landry on his first day calling for the session, or outgoing Governor John Bel Edwards, do you have a preference there?
Oh, the new governor. My preference would be the new governor, definitely.
Why is it better to have a one-day session?
How many times have you been down this road? I mean, they seem to be pretty familiar with this issue. I mean, I don't know how long this is going to take to do, but I think they can get it done. So, I mean, what the deadline is, January 15th, is that what the court has given the legislature?
Yes.
So, you know, if they don't do it, then they're going to go to trial. So, you know, we'll see. But no, I would prefer to have all of this done by the new administration, have the new governor's input on this. We know John Bel Edwards is crowing about the decision. He's all excited about it. He's pushing it. And, you know, obviously he's a Democrat. He sees this as another Democrat district. Mm-hmm. He's very happy about it. So, you know, he's saying that this is something he's been talking about all along. And I got statements from all the different leading Democrats saying it was a question of math and all this, and making very derogatory comments about what the legislature has done in the past. So, I don't know. I think it can be done, Brian. I think it can be done in a day.
No, I tend to agree with you, because a lot of the behind-the-scenes work could be done beforehand, to where once you get to that one day, you introduce a map that has been talked about, I don't want to say in back rooms, but in hallways, to be sure. You're not walking in blind.
Exactly. And they've been doing that, I think, on a lot of different issues, and they can do it on this issue too.
Yep.
But it's very contentious, obviously, and it's going to be a challenge to be able to put this together. And I know, they don't have a lot of time.
He is Jeff Carrera, host of Ringside Politics. You got a show to get to. I always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Brian.
All right.